Agot Ner Shabbos, everyone. We're about to begin. Be'ezus Hashem, Shir number 124, Shirom Rav Zelda Pliskin, and other Svarim and concepts regarding self-esteem, which is a big shayrish in learning how to serve Hashem with simcha and with feeling good about yourself, which is the opposite of arrogance if you do it in a healthy way. And today we're going to talk about that one way, one thing that must happen if someone is lacks self-confidence to break free from it, is that a lot of that insecurity comes from past mistakes or past trauma or past interpretations of what you experienced in your childhood or teenage years or even later that got you to a point where you started believing certain things about yourself that limit you, that put you down, that put you sort of in a cage. And you're in a prison in a certain sense. And when you break free from that past, from those unhealthy past thoughts, from those insecure thoughts that were generated because of past experiences, then you become free from it. And then you start feeling that healthy self-confidence and security that we all deserve, because this is what Hashem wants from us. We said in the last year, you have your own personal ladder, not other people's ladders, your ladder. Hashem gave you a special ladder to go up, and He wants you to go up. And when you experience things happen and you fall down, even off the ladder completely, or you fall down a bunch of rungs, then you catch yourself and you're now 100 rungs lower. It is hard, but the Yetzihara, there is where he gets you. Look where you were, look where you are now. It's over. And then you just let go and just plummet down. Or you don't have energy and you slowly go down and you don't even look up anymore. When the healthy aspect of it, and the real truth is the other way around. You don't think about that. You don't look it down. You look up. You just turn around, face upward, and take one rung up. That rung, done the right way, with the right thought, is your path to greatness. Not the fact that you were up 100 rungs earlier before you fell, but that one rung after you fell. That is the key. So we're talking about today, we're going to talk about breaking free of your past. There is a non-Jewish person called Wayne Dyer. He does have a lot of wisdom in him. There is a book by a Jewish person, Moshe Gerst, his name is, which we didn't yet discuss, and a fascinating story with him. And he has a lot of wisdom in the book that he published, that both Jews and non-Jews both praise it. Akiva Tatz, Rabbi Usher Weiss, David Aaron, these are, you know, Jewish scholars and worthy of note, and then non-Jewish. And one of the places he does take from is Wayne Dyer and one other person as well, which we may go into also. But the bottom line is there is definitely a lot of wisdom, and I'm going to share some of that today. And here is the thing. You have to ask yourself how you describe yourself. It's called self-descriptors. You put on yourself labels. You put on yourself tags. Now, some of these tags may have had some truth to it, and that's okay. But the problem is once you put that label on, it becomes fixed in your mind. So, for example, you feel nervous. So I'm a nervous person. I'm shy. I'm lazy. I'm not musical. I'm clumsy. I'm forgetful. And all of these things that you use. Sometimes it'll be positive. I'm loving. I'm good at this sport. I'm good at that sport. I'm sweet. I'm dynamic. So we use those self-descriptions, both when we want to put ourselves up there, you know, like a job interview, shidduch resume, whatever it is. And sometimes we do the reverse and we put ourselves in a negative light. Now, to describe yourself, even describing yourself in the fact that you have some negative traits, that itself is not inappropriate. There is a healthy way to use that. It's called a healthy cheshben hanefesh. Cheshben hanefesh, brought down in Chayvus Halvavos, brought down in a sefer called Cheshben Hanefesh, or Avigdor Miller used to talk about. But it could also be used in harmful ways. When you put a label on a person, it's a deterrent for growth. When you put a label on someone else, that's why Hamachana Shame, when you place a nickname or a label or a title to your friend, that's a negative thing. It's a terrible thing. It's Lashon Hara. And it's a terrible damage. Even if the thing is not so negative. But it sticks because it's a label. There's a philosopher, Kierkegaard, I'm not pronouncing it right, sorry. He actually was a big chacham, a non-Jew. He lived during the time of the Kutzka. It's interesting, there's a book that talks about they never saw each other, obviously, different religions, but there's certain similarities in the way their line of thinking was. He was a big chacham. He was definitely a mavakish, a very unusual person. But he said a lot of these wonderful quotes that I really, I started to mark them down and that, you know, I want to use them in real life. But one of them is very powerful. It says, he says, once you label me, you negate me. Once you label me, you negate me. Negate me means you passel me. Because when an individual has to live by a label, then you're not yourself. Your neshama, it's not your neshama, it's the label. That is true when you label somebody else, and that's true when you label yourself. Then he goes through, and this all of you should really write down. Write down these four phrases. I'm going to say it slow, and there's a reason why I'm telling you to write it down. One, the two words, that's me. Two, I've always been that way. Three, I can't help it. Four, that's my nature. You could re-listen to the recording, but write down all four of these things. That's all one package. These four phrases, this is Wayne Dyer's novel approach, and it's spot on. It keeps you from growing. It keeps you from changing and making your life new and exciting and to be present and to be machadish. It prevents people from doing tshuva when Hashem is telling you, you do tshuva. And it's actually a lot easier to do than everyone imagines. They think they have to do who knows what. One of the pshatim in Parshas Nitzavim, when it says Ki HaMitzvah Azois, is different pshatim. One pshat that is it's going on tshuva. Some say it's going on attaining Torah, but it's going on tshuva according to one interpretation. Loi b'shamayim hi. Loi b'eretz rechayki hi. It's not in heaven where, oh, how am I going to get there? Ki karov eilecha hadover ma'oid b'ficho levavcha la'saisai. It's very close to you. The Yetzer makes it like it's impossible. Not only not impossible, it's not as difficult as people make it out. And some tshuvas are quite easy. Hashem loves this. He extends open arms. He's mamtik dinim. Even those things, the Chazal talk about it. You could, that if you're makabel, a yisurim, meaning like this. This is Avigdor Miller said this. Others yisoid. I'm going off the tangent a little bit, but this is a very important yisoid. If you wanted, the Gemara says this. If you wanted to take out a quarter out of your pocket and by mistake you only pulled out a nickel, in a certain level that's yisurim, that's mechaper. Now you would say, hey, what is going to be mechaper? Some little minor avera, but not some major one. Major one, you have to have real serious yisurim. But no, he said, if you are makir, you recognize. I took out a quarter, I wanted to, and I took out instead a nickel. And that's Hashem showing me, and the Chazal say it is Yisurim. So I'm miming that it is, even though it doesn't hurt that much, obviously. And I have to be mefashish b'maisav, and I want to do tshuva. And you do that, that's what it takes. You don't have to. And the proof of this is that again, I don't have the psukim in front of me right now, but b'li neder, I'll try to find it. But I've seen it again and again in Tanakh, where Hashem says, I'm upset. Why am I upset? I'm upset that I'm forced to punish you and you're still not getting the lesson. Why do I have to go to extremes? Why do I have to punish you more and just wake you up more if you could have easily woken up when I just gave you a little nudge? Hashem doesn't want to throw big rocks on you, a little pebble. And he says, I'm throwing you a little pebble, a little annoyance. All I want you to do is to come back to me. And so why are you causing me the pain of inflicting more pain? Because I need you to correct yourself. So the idea being, again, going back, is this is the aspect that holds us back from tshuva, the false notion, I can't change. Those four things, that's me. I've always been that way. I can't help it. And that's my nature. He said that he knows of a particular grandmother that every Sunday, she had her family over for dinner, meaning her married kids or whatever it is, they got together, and she decided exactly how much each person will eat. She took each plate, specific a certain size, gave each person two slices of meat, one spoon of peas, one clump of potatoes, this and that, a specific thing every single week. And they asked her, why do you do that? What did she say? That it's always been that way. Why? That's just the way I am. That's a label. She rationalized her behavior in her own label. In the past, I always behaved this way. This is what I always did. So I'm doing it now. So people very often will use all these phrases in one sentence or one paragraph when they're confronted with their behavior. That's me. I've always been this way. I can't help it. That's my nature. They'll say it all in one shot. And the truth is after reading this, I look back, I've seen people actually do this. It's really remarkable. And, you know, I can't help it. And if you have that mentality, if you don't challenge it, then indeed, you won't be different. You're not going to consider changing. You know, these labels, I'm lazy. You're not lazy. You learned a bad habit of laziness for quite a long time, and you have to undo that habit. A lot of lazy people became industrious. A lot of people that tire easily, if they took vitamins and they took care of their bodies, they became more healthy and more not tired. And someone who is an introvert, it's true. We're going to talk about this later. You can't change your overall total nature. So for example, but here's what I want to say. I'll give you an example, is like this. If let's say you have a young girl and she's 5 years old, 6 years old, and she draws something, whereas at 7 years old, she already could remember an impression on her, and she draws something and it doesn't look so nice. The teacher says, you don't know how to draw. You're bad at this. You don't know how to draw. Very often, the talent of art, sometimes there's a genius. A six-year-old all of a sudden will paint these unbelievable paintings, and you can tell right away there's something freakish. Music, the same thing. They're playing symphonies, and they're 5 years old. There's some type of genius thing that happened, phenomenon. But very often, it's not that way. And people have a talent sometimes for music or for art that come out a little later. So it could very well be that this girl was told, you don't know how to draw. And then she labeled herself, I'm a bad drawer. And she never tried again. If the teacher would have told her, what a beautiful drawing it is. It's great. It's wonderful. Then she would continue to draw. Now, does that mean she would become an artist? No. Does it mean that she'll be good at art? Like, meaning like good in a professional way? Maybe not, but maybe yes. And even if not, she will enjoy, maybe she'll enjoy art. Maybe she'll say to herself, many people enjoy drawing, even though they're not good at it. They know they'll never be a professional. But it relaxes them. They like the colors. They know they can't sell this stuff in the store. Sometimes it's not even good enough to put up in their own room. You know, it doesn't look that nice, but it gives them enjoyment. Because I enjoy it. It's my therapy. And because this teacher said, you don't know how to draw, you're nothing with this, it shut it down. It's a label that blocked it. So yes, you have to know your nature. Some people, yes, are better at math than others. If someone knows math is not their strong streak, they could acknowledge that. But to shut it down and say, I'm incapable of being decent in math, you're limiting yourself. You don't know what you're capable of. You may not particularly care for it. That's a different story. But you are capable. So that is the idea. It's very, very important to understand that. You know, same thing with, you have two brothers that are very athletic, and one of them is uncoordinated, clumsy. He studies, he's a studious person. So it may be true, he will never be that athlete like his other two brothers are. That, you have to be realistic to a certain extent, but he could be very well, do very well and be very coordinated, and if there's an inner lack of it, initially, he could build and break against it. In my own small level, as an example, okay, I was terrible at athletics. They used to put me in foul territory at baseball. They used to put me, whatever, anywhere where the ball would most likely not go. That's how bad I was. But I enjoyed catch, meaning with a baseball glove. And I had a friend that was willing to do it. In the beginning, he was more athletic, but he was a good friend of mine. I used to throw balls to him. He caught it. Sometimes I threw it I was trying to aim to him. It went 5-10 feet that way. He ran, caught it. Came to me. I never was able to catch it. It fell here, over there. But we continued to practice and I enjoyed it. By the end of the summer, I was not an athlete. They still put me batting 14th and still put me in foul territory or whatever it is. But when it came to this, I was coordinated at the end of the summer and I enjoyed it. I was able to, you know, he threw it that way. I ran that way, caught it very often. It was never great, but it was enjoyable. So if I would have listened that you're nothing with this, it would rob me of something that I enjoyed, of an athletic type of thing, even though I wasn't athletic. That's what we're trying to say. It goes with learning. It goes with everything else. We put limits on ourselves. And that's something that we need to work to stop. Have a wonderful Shabbos.